Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove. Head over there this Friday. They have an all new music happy hour going on, new records coming in, and then they'll be playing, spinning live vinyl, and they'll have free four hands beer and 10% off any purchase. So, pretty sweet deal. Music, beer, discounts. And then follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to keep up with them. And, of course, musicrecordshop.com for full listings. And if you also, hey, if you're listening to a local band or a local artist, feel free to stop by over there and talk to them about getting some of your records on the shelf. They have a wonderful local selection, and it's always growing. So it's because they want more and more people. They're big components of supporting local. So get out there, get your records on the shelves, go buy some local music, and support local business. So, yeah, musicrecordshop.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Thank you.
Podcast is kind of like a, it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Matt Cannon. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast with my buddy Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Behind his lunchbox, every day at that bus stop, where some big old boys got their kicks, kicking him around. He was scared as hell of that recess bell. That playground was more like a battlefield, and he knew he'd get himself killed if he didn't back down. With black in his eye and blood in his mouth, on the way home, all he thought about is we could have been teammates, we could have been friends. You could have made a difference, you could have stepped in. If you didn't like me, you should have just let me be. But no, you had to pick on me. She heard them laughing about the way she looked in the hallway at the high school. She hid behind her books every day in that lunchroom. She wouldn't eat a thing. Staring in that mirror, hating what she'd see. Trying to be pretty became a disease. She was killing herself, just dying to fit in. The diary she kept underneath her bed hid all those words that she never said. We could have been sisters, cheered at the game. Shared the same limousine. If you didn't like me, you should have just let me be. another child's headstone that might as well read. You had to pick on me. Yeah, you had to pick on me.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from Victorian Gardens in Eureka, Missouri.
That's right, yeah, the Victorian Gardens in Eureka, Missouri.
Hanging out with Matt Kennan. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey man, thanks so much for having me, bub.
Yeah, you just did a show here this afternoon.
And,
hanging out... What'd you say about, you said like 80 or so?
Yeah, there's probably 80 retired residents here, and I come to town once a month. Here in Eureka, I'm doing a lot of shows in this area. Just recently moved back to Nashville, Tennessee. But, you know, I come out here and spend time with the elderly folks and play music for them once a month. It's a great time. Great. I tell you what, you know, if I had a mom or a dad or a grandparent out here that needed to... being an independent senior living community, I mean, this place is like a vacation every day.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, there's just hot tubs, heated pools, you know, shuffleboard, putting greens. I mean, this place is where it's at. You know, we got a chef here that used to cook at the White House for Reagan, Bush, and Clinton. This is really a happening place, and they've got it really set up really nice. And the people here are wonderful, so it's just a great thing to be a part of. Be able to come out here and just spend time with them once a month.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming out here and spending some time here. And as you can see, man, this place is it's certainly first class all the way.
Definitely. So they making some new fans out here?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was just playing some music that I said, hey, you know what? You know, I'm doing some George Jones and some Johnny Cash and George Strait. And I was like, but you know what? Hey, guys, you know, I'm writing some new songs right now. And since the last month I was here, I've written some new songs, and I was like, hey, can I try them out on you guys? And they're like, yeah. So, you know, the ones they like, we're going to put them on the record, which we're in the middle of that right now. We're just about 80% through with the album right now, so we're looking for a probably early June release, something like that.
All right.
Yeah.
You get they get up dancing when you...
They do. Yeah. They, you know, it was happy hour here.
All right.
So they were serving beer and wine, and... you know, it's just one of those things, and everybody liked singing along with Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yep. That's all you got to do. yeah, man. I wanted to share, like, so we met a while back, but we go back even further, man. I was like, I was on a road trip. I think we went to Chicago, maybe Florida. I forget where is that. We were on the road, and we were doing a lot of driving on the highway, and we were actually listening to the highway, and it was your highway hang time, I believe it was.
Oh, live in the studio up in New York City, yeah.
It was like 6 years ago.
Oh, yep.
And you, that was the on that trip, I you know, just happened to catch the interview. You're sitting and talking, and then you played, or I guess they did the track of The Call.
Yes.
And I was like just blown away, man. I was like, this is a great song. And but yeah, just you know, and hearing, like I said, some of your stories then, and then fast forward, you know, we're hanging out. I saw you at the Snorty Horse
in Columbia.
Yeah, we got to hang out a little while that night and stuff, and like, but
you had on the Slash T-shirt.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man. But yeah, like it's with that shirt, it's funny. It's like sometimes I'll tag, you know, you can tag on Facebook. I'll tag Slash in my shirt just because I find it funny. But yeah, that's a great shirt though. But but yeah, man, like just so how much did that song change your life 6 years ago?
man, I'll tell you what, I'm still living off that song.
Yeah.
You know, that song's been good to me. It was a, you know, I had a lot of people around me. It just seemed like, you know, we're having family members and I had cousins and just people that I saw make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And I just thought, you know what, I could just sign a record deal with James Stroud, who had been working with Clint Black, Tim McGraw, Toby Keith. And I knew we were going to have a song come out. And I was like, you know what, I got an opportunity here to really make a difference with a song that I felt could impact a lot of lives. And, you know, when I sat down with my co-writers, we were just talking about it. And I was like, man, there's so many people out of work right now. The economy's kind of in the toilet. And you know, there's just people that feel like there's no hope. I said, you know what? A phone call can make, just a simple phone call can make all the difference in the world. And my co-writer on it had Crohn's disease, and my other co-writer had lung cancer from the time he was 14 to 19. So we'd all felt the importance of a phone call. And just that, you know, we sat down and we wrote the song, and man, it just kind of wrote itself. I mean, it really did. It was one of those things. And by the time we wrote the song, man, we were on the radio in 6 weeks. I mean, yeah. It was a fast track single, and you know, certainly trying to write that song that can do that again. And we may have not. I don't know. We're still working at it right now. But the call certainly has made a difference in a lot of people's lives. And Shane, I tell you, I mean, well over 20,000 emails of people saying that song saved their life or made a difference in their life. So in my book, that's a hit. You know, chart position, that's just numbers, and that's the game of this being played. But you know, when you get that many emails and that many views on YouTube, which I think we're like at 8.5 million or something now, I just sit back every day and just count my blessings and say, wow, you know, the power of a song that resonates with people.
Sure. Yeah, even, like I said, even 6 years later, that song still affecting people daily. That's incredible, man. Because, you know, there's so many songs. You look at, like, Top 40, how many, you know, they throw them out there, they burn them out in a couple weeks, and then they're very sick of them and stuff. And, like, you know, they still might have an effect afterwards, but the, you know, just the longevity of a song to carry on like that, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like I said, it's just taking on a life of its own.
Yeah. You also had some success with that, you had a pick on me too, right?
Yeah. You know, it's weird. I mean, talking about Missouri, you know, we put that single out and, you know, we got a lot of play down around Cuba, Mexico, Farmington, Warrenton. And that song's really done well. You know, we got out and performed at 83 schools across the United States and 7 states. And we had, you know, such sponsors as Nick Saban from the University of Alabama's foundation, Nick's Kids, bring us into town. And we were doing a video contest for kids and students to make a video to You Had to Pick on Me. And, you know, we could have hired a videographer and created our own video, but we wanted to see what the kids' interpretation of the song was. So we ended up with well over, like, 250 videos of that song. And we posted, I think, the top 10 or 12 on YouTube. And we were really amazed at the talent and how well that song did. You know, we reached well into the close to 300,000 students with that song. So that song, in my book, was another hit. Even though it didn't make a huge splash at radio, we got enough airplay to get some awareness to the song and the calls. And we're actually going back out this fall and doing some more anti-bullying assemblies, which is my program called Stop the Bull.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I love that, you know, that you're doing, like, between the schools and this retirement home gig and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it's like I just try to do music that matters.
Sure.
Not saying that other music doesn't matter, but I try to go for a cause and you know, just be able to, whether it be dealing with soldiers with PTSD, which we've done a lot of that, or people overcoming addiction, or people, you know, hurt because of love lost, or losing a loved one, or divorce, or whatever the case may be, adoption. You know, people are going through some stuff, man, and I think there's too many times people get put in a position to make a difference. And then I think, like I said, I love it just as much as anybody else, but there's a lot of lighthearted stuff out there that just fit, the music just feels good, hang out, party, drink beer, hanging on the tailgate, and that's all fine and well. But I think there's a lot of people that are, you know, not able to even get out of bed in the morning because they're depressed or they're dealing with stuff in their life. And I think it, you know, when you're able to write songs and sing songs that can relate to their life, then I think that's, you know, basically the opportunity I've been given is to make a difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime I hear those, you know, I'm a big fan of singer-songwriters, and every time I hear that song that feels like it's written for my life or whatever, or a moment that I'm currently living in and stuff. It's like, you know, it just connects so much more than...
I mean, you know, I think in the music business, you know, there was a time, and I know for me, when I heard a song like Garth Brooks' If Tomorrow Never Comes or whatever, I'm like, I want to hear that again. I'm going to Walmart right now and buying that CD. And I think there's something to be said for that. You know, there's still artists like Adele and you know, like Lee Bryce, I Drive Your Truck, and Cole Swindell on country radio with You Should Be Here. I think there's certain songs that just kind of tug at the heartstrings. And, you know, those songs, I feel like the call are impact records. They make an impact, and they make you want to go out and buy the music. It's not something you just sit there and listen to in your car, and you don't change the station. You're like, okay, that's a cool song. When you hear these kinds of songs, it's like, I got to have that, and I want to hear it, and I want to play it for people. Have you heard this song?
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, that's what a hit is.
Sure. When you write a song or you're out performing a song like The Call, a lot of that, like, that's a lot of emotion in those. And, like, and even though, you know, like, you sang it probably hundreds of times or whatever, thousands of times.
Thousands.
But, like... Is it something for you? Like, I mean, because you have to put a piece of yourself in that, like, every performance, you know, right? So is it difficult for you sometimes to relay that? Or is it, I mean, does it just come out every time? Like,
I don't know. Let's find out. I got my guitar right here.
All right, yeah.
Let's find out.
Sure.
Today was gonna be the day he'd already wrote. Embarked that Chevrolet at the end of that dead end road. Had his finger on the trigger, just about to end everything. He was taking one last long breath when he heard his cell phone ring. And his best friend said, "Man, where you been? We're heading down to the lake this weekend. Better not miss it, 'cause buddy, I swear it won't be the same if you ain't there. And I told that girl that you liked so much, you were coming along and her eyes lit up. I better let you go, man, I really hope I didn't catch you in the middle of anything." He said, "You kinda did, but I don't mind at all. I'm glad."
Yeah, man.
I mean, I don't know. I just feel something every time I sing that song. It never gets old to me.
Yeah.
And I just think about all the people that have sent emails and have reached out to me on Facebook or Twitter and just say, "Hey, man, your song's really made a difference in my life." You know, I think about all those people when I'm singing it. So it's just one of those things to where I don't know if the notes are right coming out of my mouth, but there's an emotion to where, hey, you know, these people are kind of using this song to make decisions in their life. Yeah. So, I mean... You know, I try to give it everything I got every time I sing it.
But, yeah, definitely.
You know, 1,484 times now, it's never got old.
Yeah, right. Yeah, man. No, that's awesome, man. That sounded great. I remember the last time we spoke, you did a version of Faithfully from Journey.
Oh, yeah, this one. It's on my Four on the Floor EP.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of crazy. I was in the studio, and I was with my wife and my daughter. And I told the producer, who I'd been working with for probably 14 years at the time, I said, "Hey, man, play Faithfully." He goes, you know, okay. And any other time, if I would have asked him, he would have said, "Are you nuts? You know, we don't do covers, and we're certainly not going to cover Steve Perry. I mean, you kind of sound like, you know... Trace Atkins or something." But in the way that we did it, it was just a song that was kind of, it became a new song. And, and Jimmy Jameson, a survivor, was one of my dearest friends. God rest his soul. He passed away last year. But him and I collaborated so much on albums, and he sang harmony on my first two records. And we were just really good friends. And I sent him that song. He goes, "Man, I've heard that song so much. I just wore it out." He said, "But I found a new reinvigorated interest in that song now because of the way you sang it." It was just simple acoustic. It was just, it wasn't me trying to be Steve Perry. It was like, here's a hit song, and you know, it, just another rendition of it. So yeah. That song has done very well for us, and I play it every. I played it here today at the Victorian Gardens. The had the 75 to 93 year olds singing along with me, and it felt really good to do that today.
Yeah, yeah. I think I mean, there's been some artists that have been able to do that. Like you look at like. Johnny Cash taking that Nine Inch Nails song "Hurt," you know, and totally flipped it, you know, and it's like
absolutely,
or you know, I mean, there's several examples, but but to have another artist reinterpret the song and totally give it a new life and a new meaning and things, and like, and then again, you're like, your voice is like the complete opposite of a Steve Perry's,
yeah,
so it sounds nothing like the original at all, but. But yeah, it was just I really dig it. I thought that was a great little cover you did. And
is on iTunes.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I wish I had my lighter, man. I could get the lighter up going. So Matt's got some shows coming up here in the around the St. Louis area and so on. So you're playing May 6th at
Kildurkin's Pub here in Eureka. Yeah. So we'll be there May 6th, and May 13th we'll be at JP's Corner here in Eureka. Also, then the next night I'll be out with Jesse Keith Whitley at the Capital City Bar and Grill in Springfield, Illinois, doing a show there. And then I will be in Winfield, Kansas with Craig Campbell and Stoney LaRue on June the 3rd. Then I'll be here at Baldwin Days on June 11th at 4:30. And then I'll be down in Eureka at the Wine House in Eureka, Missouri at 8 o'clock that night.
Yeah.
Or 7:38, I have to look. But yeah, that night we'll be here. Then we're doing Eureka Days, which is a big festival. Just booked it today, actually, September the 10th. And then we'll be out with Craig Campbell again at Concerts in the Corn out at Brookdale Farms on September the 24th. So
yeah.
Eureka, Missouri in St. Louis area, it's great to be able to come here and play music. The music scene's great.
Yeah.
A lot of blues, a lot of rock going on. You know, I'm just trying to do the singer-songwriter
thing. I've been doing the show now, like I said, almost 2 years, and like there's a very eclectic mix of talent all over this town, and it's just it's cool to see, man. There's something for everybody. So, but yeah, we definitely have. I mean, St. Louis Blues. We named a hockey team after it and everything. It's deep roots in blues, but there's definitely room for. Singer-songwriters and country music.
Artists, yeah. Southern rock. Yeah, I'm a transplant out here.
Yeah.
You know, I lived in Nashville for 9 years, lived here in Eureka, just fell in love with the town for 3.5. And now I'm back living in Nashville, but I'm still here about 7 to 10 days a month. I just couldn't stay away. I love the Merrimack River. I love just being around a lot of my friends that I made some lifetime friends out here. Great food, just good people. So this is my part-time home. Just like I said, I didn't want to leave for good. So
right, so you mentioned Nashville, and you said you're working on a new record.
We've been working on a new record now. You know, it's crazy, Shane. We were in the studio the end of 2014 with John Mellencamp's band, his rhythm section. The original guitar player did Pink Houses, Jack and Diane, Small Town, and he co-produced 3 songs that we did. And then from there, we went and cut with JT Cornfloss, ACM Guitarist of the Year, who was involved in that Mellencamp project. We went and cut with Mark Colley, who is on, it was the Harry Heck and the Punisher, And he's also on the TV show Nashville. He's Frankie the bar owner. And he's one of my dear friends. Big career in the 90s on Universal. And he co-produced four songs on me. So we got seven there. And then I'm back working with the guy that originally did all my demos and helped me get the record deal, Kyle Lennon. He's worked with Randy Travis and Chip Martin. I've been working with him for 16 years from Atlanta. And we've cut about 8 songs together. So we got about 15 songs right now. I'm probably going to cut 2 or 3 more. And then we'll have about a 10, 12 song album available. I'm thinking somewhere early June, late May, early June.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. And then anybody that if you don't have any Matt Kennan stuff, they can go to on iTunes and
Amazon. We're on like 350 worldwide digital outlets, but yeah. iTunes, Amazon, Rhapsody.
Was it MattKennan.com?
It's MattKennan.com is the website. The Facebook is Matt Kennan Music. Please drop us a like. Stay in touch. Keep up with our tour dates. Join our Bands in Town page.
Yeah.
Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
So we haven't got into the Snapchat thing too much yet, but we will one of these days, I'm sure. I'm just waiting until the last minute.
Right. I don't know, man. There's sometimes you got to draw a line on some of that stuff. There's just so many different apps.
Well, it can suck you in. Yeah. And then next thing you know, you never have time to do anything.
Right.
But just keep updating your pages and responding. And, like I said, right now we've been doing this record, and we got about 16 shows coming up here in the next few months. And just been writing a lot. I'm back writing with the guy I wrote The Call with. I'm back writing with the guys that helped me write my first two albums. And, right now we've heard Rodney Atkins loves one of my new songs. And, man, I'd love a chance to, just play a little bit of that for the people and kind of see what they think. Because I know we got some rock and roll fans out here. And this song's called Old Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
And I'd love nothing more than just to play a verse and a chorus of that.
Sure,
You may hear it on another artist or myself coming out on this new record.
Yeah.
So if it's all right with you, man, I'd love to give you a little bit of that song.
Oh, I'd love it, yeah.
All right, so. You're my shotgun DJ playing all our favorite songs. All night long, I could ride around forever, going nowhere. And just get lost, a full tank of gas in the windows now. Like Jack and Diane, I run as a sound. Our sunset strip, our muscle shows. You turn me on and you turn me up. You take me back, I can't get enough. Our love is like old rock and roll. Oh, it never, never gets old.
Yeah, man.
Snippet of that.
Yeah, that's sounding good.
So, yeah, man, being out here in the Midwest, being a Mellencamp fan, just kind of the Heartland thing, I think there's it kind of helped me identify, kind of who I was, I guess. And so I've taken a little bit of that Heartland sound in my music, so I think that's what people are going to hear on this new record.
Very cool.
And it was just by default, just being out here. Me and my buddies, we get out on the Merrimack River and show runner boats and go arrowhead hunting and drink beer and cook out brat. And, being from Georgia, I wasn't really around that. So being out here for a while kind of gave me the best of both worlds.
Yeah. I talked to a lot of these guys, and it's like you can play shows and tour the country and do all this stuff. But, and that's great. But sometimes you got to take a moment to live life a little bit to where you can keep writing those hit songs and stuff. Because if you're not, it's hard to find something relatable if you're not out there, living life a little bit.
I mean, we could all write about the fairy tale fiction life stories, but I think when you live through them, I know certainly in my life, I've been able to take living experiences and things I've seen firsthand and turn those into songs. And, I don't want to inundate people with my life story, but like you said, sometimes you see a lot of stuff, and I think that's what this new record, like the last song I just played, it's just a love song, but hey, how many of us has gotten in the car and listened to old 80s rock? We're talking about Guns N' Roses and Poison and all that John Mellencamp, and you just ride around all night, and all you do is just keep putting CDs in the the stereo. I mean, what a great day that would be.
Yeah, I have this theory that if you hang around an old man long enough, you're going to write a couple of hit songs because they have like these one-liners all the time. Like they drop these just one-off lines, and it's nothing for them, but it's like, man, that's a hook in a song right there. Like. Do you run into that at living your life and stuff?
Well, right now, today, just being at Victorian Gardens, you know, all these people tell me about back when they were in World War II or this or that and the other. There's so many songs that are probably going to come out from me visiting here, just talking to these people, that it's like a wealth of information just sitting back and being like a sponge and soaking it all in.
Yeah, that's a lot of the reason for this show, man. I've always just wanted to capture those stories and, you know, in people's moments, a moment in people's life, and capture it on the mic here and be able to share that and stuff and have it preserved. But, yeah, I think that's pretty incredible to get to hear those stories firsthand from some of the folks out here.
Absolutely, man. And like I said, I've been a fan of yours. I know you're a music connoisseur, and you're always keeping everybody updated on the shows and everything. So, man, from me to you, man, thanks very much for doing what you do for not only the local talent, but the national talent, regional talent, just making everybody aware of what's going on. Yeah. And like I said, man, I'm just glad to be here. I'm glad to be out here in St. Louis. A lot of good people. I know they love country music because every country music show that comes to the Verizon Amphitheater, I think that's what it's still called, right?
It's called Hollywood Casino.
Oh, yeah, Hollywood Casinos. Yeah, it used to be but every place, I mean, it sells out. And there's just not a lot of country music going on in town in a lot of these different venues. So, you know, I'm hoping to be that guy that can kind of bring some country music, a little bit of Nashville here to St. Louis, and bring the band out and just, you know, have a good time and kick it with folks.
For sure, yeah. So, yeah, come out. We got all kinds of opportunity to come see Matt. Like I said, the 6th at Kildurkins.
In Eureka.
Eureka. And then the 13th at JP's Corner. I'll have all these listed on the website, and then I'm sure, like I said, bands in town, you can follow Matt on there, and you can keep up mattkinnon.com.
We'll keep everybody posted. And
yeah.
If we got time, man, I'd love to play a new song I just finished up last week, and it's kind of on the it's fresh on my brain right now. It's going to be on the new record, but I encourage everybody to check out. We got 83 songs on iTunes right now.
Yeah.
83 songs, so love for people to just check that out, and there's more where those came from.
For sure, yeah.
And I'd love to do one for you now. Shane, thanks so much for coming out today. And like I said, I think you're doing a great thing here, keeping everybody informed of what's going on.
Thank you, Matt.
This song's called Tell Me Something I Don't Know. Tell me, is there life on Mars? Or how they built the pyramids? Where Blackbeard hid his gold? How old this world really is? Was there a second shooter on that grassy knoll? Then tell me something I don't know. Tell me how I'll get to heaven if God knows all my sins. Those pearly gates won't open, is there a back way in? Where the bad good old boys like me go? They tell me something I don't know. But don't tell me she ain't coming back. Even a fool like me can see that. I don't need to hear. Tell me, do I cross her mind, even if it's now and then? Does she lie awake at night, wonder what could have been? You say she got married on a beach in Mexico. Yeah, tell me something I don't know. But don't tell me she's tell me something I don't know.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.